Blog Talk Radio.
Still feeling the pain from exiting the womb of ignorance into a world designed to kill me at birth. I am protected. The Elder Council consisting of Grand Grand and Baba, Doc Jones and Mama Yah, Lockie, Stormy, and Antoine and Geraldine, Doc Sobol, Sister Parsi, and Brother DeBril, send forth the energy to make us feel our work is not in vain. Glory be unto their name, for they train us to adhere to the teachings of Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey,
Yes, you all are listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Welcome out, Big Bro. How are you this morning?
Wonderful. Oh, everything's good.
Good. I want to welcome the internet / radio crowd for listening in with Brothers Keeper. And as usual, just trying to overthrow white supremacy, as we always say. You know, it's a serious job, but somebody got to do it.
Yes, sir.
We have a good show lined up this evening. We're going to be speaking with the sister about an incident that happened with a youth in her city. I believe it was one of her relatives. So we're going to get to some music very quickly, and we'll be back as we speak about police terrorism in the black neighborhood. You all listen to this. We'll be right back.
Our young girls, our daughters, our baby sisters become unwed mothers before they are hardly in their teens. 12 years old, 11 years old, 13 years old, running around here with babies. Our community has thousands of unmarried mothers, mothers who have no hope of ever getting a husband. All they can get is another baby, and another baby, and another baby, but never a husband. And because of this, our community has tens of thousands of little black babies who have no father to act as their protector or their provider.
Teacher, we honor you.
Hey.
imaginable to his brothers. There were sisters who were so proud of themselves, because, you know, some sisters had such resilience that they would fight this cracker. They didn't care how many teeth she got knocked out, she didn't care nothing. The cracker just couldn't rape her. He just couldn't do it. No matter how many teams the Pee-wee brothers tried to do it, he couldn't get it done, because she just fight too hard. And she was proud of herself because she had made it through this ordeal, and she picked the black man of her choice and had his child on the way. And so she was having his child, his cracker was hell. Gonna fight better than me. This cracker will wait 8.5 months. In about 8.5 months, she's ready. She don't know. In 15 days or so, you know, this baby is coming, it's kicking. They would wake up early in the morning and march up on the hill. The tree right there on the hill.
Talk about it.
And get some black men. That's what you want to call it. Some brothers who have gone through the same ordeal. And get them to grab her and tie her to the tree. And the whole black village is watching while she's tied to the tree. And the cracker tells the black man, go sharpen my knife. So the brother goes and sharpens the knife. You know something wrong about to happen. Cracker said, that's good enough. Give me the knife. Now I want y'all niggas. Y'all are not men. You're not women no more. You're niggas and you're bitches. Y'all understand what that means? Well, if you don't understand, I'm going to show you what a nigga and a bitch is. I'm the cracker. I'm your God, I'm your master now. And this is what happens when you defy me. You take this knife and come at the top of her stomach. And come all the way around the roundness of her stomach. And reach this cracker hand inside. Take the unborn child out, throw it on the ground, and stomp it. Say, do you know where that nigga is now? And this is what happens to any of you who defy my authority.
The lie, the system, the gang, set up to leave a black man as victim. The Marlins, plantation, another name for the prison. The putting it in your face, but niggas never pay attention. The deception, oppression, the war, some aggression. The turning the other cheek, but damn, we still ain't learned the lesson. The lynching, the raping, the murder, castration, the family separation with no reparations. The depopulation targeted for black nations. The HIV pandemic spread it through vaccination. The genocide, the truth behind Hurricane Katrina, the wreck, 84 contingency plan of FEMA, the robbers, the theft, the taking of our wealth, the learning to love your enemies before you love yourself, the madness, insanity, the blind leading the blind, the changing of our history, the enslavement of the mind, the putting us on the cross, the taking of our life, the false indoctrination, the white Jesus Christ, divided, conquered, hated, will he lynch? The raping of our people, how soon we forget.
Yes, yes, that was Brother Prophecy there on Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. And what we're going to do is we're going to be speaking with the sister very shortly about police terrorism in black neighborhoods. She has a situation that we all need to know of. And we'll be hearing from her shortly. And as she calls into the guest line, we'll be talking to her shortly about police terrorism in the black neighborhoods. Big Bro, are you there? How you doing, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good, man. You got a real good topic we're talking about today, man. Police terrorism in our neighborhoods. You know, some of us don't believe that it's actually as bad off as it seems, brother.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. some people believe that the police is doing their job to rid the community of all the crime and all the bad people and stuff like that. But sometimes in that big old net, as well as we know, if you cast a net out into a sea of fish, you're going to get some good fish, you're going to get some bad fish.
Right.
But you're going to get some fish, though.
That's right. You know, and, you know, as we always say, the police do on the local level what the military does on a international level. You know,
exactly,
the occupation of our neighborhood is nothing less than occupation, you know, just as they are occupying Iraq at the present moment. You know,
exactly.
And we are, to a point, you know, held captive in our neighborhoods. I mean, it's
not
like we can freely get in our car and roam about as we please without the fear or the knowing knowledge of a police presence, of a police occupation.
Exactly.
You know, or anything as far as a busted tail light, you know, just something as a no seat belt.
Exactly.
You know, anything that they feel like they want to do, you know, they can pull you over for no reason and then make up a reason, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, the reason why I pulled you over is because your license plate is dangling, you know, anything, you know. And, I mean, and, you know, even more situations, you know, the unheard of, the untold stories of police terrorism in our neighborhoods.
So right,
it's just something that we're going to have to deal with, you know.
So right,
a couple
bro.
Of ways to deal with it. What we're going to do
but
right
you know,
now. Is,
it does impose fear, man. It imposes fear on the community, man. Exactly. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you stop at a traffic light and there's no other cars on the street, why do you have to wait on the traffic light to turn green?
Exactly.
You only wait for the traffic light to turn green for fear of getting a ticket if you move out of the street.
Right, exactly, you know. And, you know, they do these things in order to fund a whole lot of other things that go on in the community. For those
exactly,
of you who just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper as we're discussing police terrorism. And what we're going to do right now is get to another song. And we hope that you all listen and enjoy. The only music that you will hear on Real Talk with Brothers Keeper are songs that will uplift us and that will teach us and, you know, have us behave in a proper manner as far as collective liberation of our people. So you all listen to this and enjoy Real Talk with Brothers Keeper.
Here's to the flag of mine, the red, black, and green. Hope and its future bright, Africa has been. Here's to the red of it, great nations shall know of it. Red blood shall flow of it, historians shall write of it. Great black line. Here's to the black of it, 400 million back of it. Whose destiny depends on it, the red, black, and green of it. Oh, flag of mine. Here's to the green of it, your young me out of dream of it. Face shining shells of it, waving so high. Here's to the whole of it, colors bright and whole of it, pleased in my soul with it, thank God for giving it, great black of mine.
Go ahead, fellas, let him hear it.
We say you are sorry for all that you have done. We bow down in praise for the fight and victory won. Parties in the park, so it's my duty to kill this crowd.
But in the name of God, swing it.
Red, black, and green, be the colors I bleed. Revolutionary soldiers down on my team. Role models be red, Bobby, you, we. Black man, I'm a rep for the RBG. Is it my fault? That's cause I'm a young black male. Cops on my block like my destiny is making crack sales. I'm a victim, caught up in the system. My mind's been conditioned. Conditions been conditioned to see this funky system for just what it is. Killers of these black men, mothers and kids. Old men, they have visions. Young men, they have dreams. But we all got a rep for this RBG.
Red, black, and green be the colors I bleed. Revolutionary soldiers down on my team. Role models be red, Bobby, you, we. Black man, I'm a rep for the RBG.
We represent the vanguard. Come and check our war scars. Kill a two ball, stick the cracker in his jugular. Molotov in his car. Gas can in his yard. Poison in his food. Leave him shaking like a retard. Cause it's the wind at his throat. Check out how gorillas roll. Perry lift quick. Break his arm at the elbow. Put the fire in his eyes. Now you're feeling my cries. Riding high on black pride. Trying to save black lives. We ride.
This country with y'all blood on our chest. Oh, we took 500 GMs of this questionable mess. Y'all better get y'all sold to God because your butt I'm gon' left. The methods of the RBG is all we gon' need. And when we get it, we gon' make y'all rotten souls bleed. Oh, jeez, I think they hate the verse that I'm laying. Maybe they gon' get on their knees and just start praying. And when they crack a hit you in the back of your neck, just remember me saying, get your mind in check. Mic check, mic check. And 1, 2, 1, 2. Throw your hands up.
Yes, indeed, red, black, and green, RBG for life. Black people know who you are and love yourself. That's right, my Crips and Bloods, GDs and Vice Lords, put down those red and blue flags and put that red, black, and green flag in your pocket. Represent who you really, truly are. You're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper by way of MasterGrio.com. You still there, big bro?
Yes, sir.
And we're talking about police terrorism in the black community today. Big bro, I want you to say hello to Sister Mary, who's on the line with us.
Hey, how you doing, Sister Mary?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm doing fine.
That's wonderful.
Glad to have you on.
Well, I appreciate that.
Mary has had a situation come about in Memphis, as a matter of fact. And since that is our hometown, we must shed light on that situation. That's a situation that most of the so-called mass media would not cover for this sister. And so being who we are, can't help but to be real.
Thank God.
Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Sister Mary, enlighten us. Help us to what the business is.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to people about this travesty of justice. I want you to know, sir, that you underestimated the shroud of secrecy that is around this. You said most of the mass media, and I want you to know that 100% of mainstream media ignores this. They all know about it, but they all refuse to cover it, and it is a major news event. The truth is, sir, that Memphis is a town where I was raised right outside of Memphis in Somerville, Tennessee. Most of my family still resides in Memphis. I have been living in the Atlanta, Georgia area for the last 20 years, and my mother resides with me. However, leaving Memphis was particularly a major decision for her because even though she was older, she's 85 now, she was almost 70 when she left, was really bad for her. It was really hurtful for her because she had to leave behind her mentally challenged son, Larry Neal. He was a 54-year-old mentally ill man who had been mentally ill since he was 9 years old. He spent over 20 years at Western State Mental Hospital in Bolivar, Tennessee, until the 1970s when they decided that mentally ill people who did not pose a danger to themselves and others should be released. They should be freed. Hallelujah, they're free. So when you see a lot of people on the street now, the homeless, the ones who are mumbling to themselves, you know, we talk about a homeless problem, but that was created in large part by the abandonment of mentally ill people. My brother was not homeless, however. He lived in a state-appointed care home. He had been mentally ill since he was nine, so he did not have to suffer homelessness because we looked after him and made sure he was placed. However, he was far too sick to reside with any of his relatives. Frankly, when a person is that sick, you are scared of them and you're also afraid for them. You're afraid for them because they are victimized. And it seems like Memphis has gotten to be really cruel to the mentally ill. My brother was often arrested for doing things like talking loud. For 20 years, whenever he was hungry for lunch, he had only to go through the line at the mental hospital and they put food on his plate. He went through the line there. Do y'all still have Fred Montesi?
No,
it's summer. Close now.
Yes.
You remember
yes,
that, though, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He went through the line at the big store and just got himself some grapes and started eating, laughing out loud. They were so good. And he was arrested for stealing. So these types of things, this is what happens to the mentally ill. They don't know how to abide by the laws of the land. Today, sir, we have over 200,000 ex-mental patients are now in prison. They were freed from places where they get treatment and humane care, and they were freed to live on their own, and in short order, sir, they end up in prison. That's what happened to them. Now, in Memphis jail, Larry was arrested over and over for his little petty crimes, but they weren't crimes because he didn't know the difference between doing right and wrong, and they knew that. So he was arrested over and over. Now, you know that police have very short patience these days, especially for black men. And my brother was black. I'm black. So what happened is, I guess they were sick of him there in Memphis, and they arrested him, and they decided not to tell anybody. Because when they would say, we've got Larry Neal under arrest here, then somebody from the family or his social worker would always go down in short order and pick him up. He would be taken either to Tennessee Psychiatric there for evaluation, or he'd just be taken back to his care home. So I guess maybe, I'm just trying to give it a better case scenario than what could come to mind. Maybe they thought, well, let's keep him long enough to teach him a lesson. Maybe they didn't intend to kill him. I don't know, but he ended up dead anyway. The thing is, sir, that Larry was not only a mental patient, but the last 10 years of his life, he was also a heart patient. He had to have his heart medication to live. So when you pick up a mentally ill patient and deny to his social worker that you have him and deny to his family that you have him and you keep up that denial for 18 days and that person is not getting their heart drugs, they die. And that's what happened to him.
And I call it
euthanasia.
Yeah, and to this day, no one has been convicted or either questioned about this matter.
No, they haven't been questioned about it because we can thank the good old, wonderful, for you brother, down with the cause, Johnny Cochran firm for that. See, the day he died, immediately upon getting the notification that he died. And they kept up that lie that they didn't have him and didn't know where he was until the morning he died. Then they came directly to the house where my mother used to live in Memphis, which is now occupied by her grandson. And they reported that they had him, that they had had him the whole time, and that he was dead now. So they knew who he was suddenly. Now, fingerprints work before death as well as after death. Am I not right?
That is correct.
Sure.
Your fingerprints don't change when you're alive, do they?
That is correct.
All right. So anyway, they knew who he was then. And they came and reported him dead. So I got the call here in Atlanta, and I told my mother. I said, well, you know what? Don't worry about it. You know, God got Larry. God got him, and so we just got to pray for him, and we know that God is taking care of people who are sick. So we're not going to worry about it, but these people who let this happen, we're going to deal with them. And so I called here in Atlanta, the Atlanta office that's advertised as being the Atlanta office of the Johnny Cochran firm, and I told them all about it. And they said, oh, my goodness. That is wrong. That is wrong for death. We are going to get them. We are going to deal with this. We're going to find out what happened, and we're going to hold those people responsible. Tell you what, we got the office there in Memphis. I said, well, my mother is 80 years old almost. She'll be 80 in a couple of months. She's not able to get back and forth to lawyers' offices.
They okay, said, this is what you told them. This is what you told them then, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And they say, they said, well, don't worry about it. You came to the right people because we've got offices here in Atlanta as well as in Memphis, and we will send lawyers to the house. She doesn't have to move a muscle. They said, but is she able to come out and sign contracts? I said, today she is in Greece. And they said, well, when she goes to Memphis, she's already out the house. Can she sign contract? I said, Memphis, I will take her to sign contract because she'll already be out of the house anyway, and it'll be a few days before we can have the funeral. And so they gave her a few days to get herself together. The day after the funeral, the day after we buried Larry, we went to the Johnny Cochran firm there in Memphis, and we signed contract. Oh, they listened to the story and gave us tissues. They gave us so many tissues and so much sympathy. And we did not know. Never were we told. You see, I've been out of that area over 20 years. Never were we told that Julian Bolton was the county commissioner, had been the chairman of the county commission up until the day that he stepped down to help Janet Cochran start that firm. And he still was on the county commission, probably their most important member. Never were we told that. As a matter of fact, we had been told just the opposite. They, when I first called, I didn't call them, they called me. When they called, the woman took the information and she said, I guess she didn't know that there was a trick going on. She said to me, listen, wait a minute, you say he died here in jail? I said, yeah. She said, well, we might have a conflict of interest because we have an attorney who's connected with the jail. She said, I'll have to check on that possible conflict and call you back. In about 10 minutes, she called back. And do you know what she said to me?
What's that?
She said to me, Ms. Neal, she said, we will be glad to take the case. There is no conflict of interest. She said, that attorney I was thinking of, it turns out he works for another municipality around this area. Mm. It has nothing to do with the jail where your brother died.
Mm.
And I know that Memphis has lots of little townships. You know, I know when I lived there, you could go 10 miles down the road and you rent another whole little township. Is that still the case? Or have they?
Yes, well, it just depends on where you're going.
Right, exactly.
Like you're in Germantown or Carviewville or somewhere
they
own municipality. Yeah.
That's right. And so she told me, don't worry about it. It's got nothing to do with that jail. The Memphis jail said that the lawyer I was thinking about is connected with another municipality. And I said, oh, well, that's good. She said, so we will be glad to represent you. I said, wonderful. And so they called back and deliberately, in my face, lied. So guess what they did with the case?
Right.
Zero. Wrote me letters for all they were doing, and were doing zero. They were working for the jail.
They did no work whatsoever on the case?
Absolutely none. I asked for the file they wrote me first. They started writing me letters telling me what they were doing, discovery and this and another. And when I was in the office, they laid out a plan of what they were going to do. And I thought they were doing it. They said they had to interview the jail. They had to interview the inmates that were incarcerated at the time that my brother was there to verify anything that they hear from the jail. They said they had to subpoena his records from 20 years in Western State Mill Hospital and his records from Memphis Psychiatric Hospital. They said they had a lot to do on the case. And they said, don't worry about it if you have long periods of silence from us, because we are going to be on top of this. It's just that he's been a patient all his life, and we want to be able to show the jury just how sick he was and just how awful it is what they did to him. So I'm thinking they're getting all this
record. That's what you were told by the Cochran firm.
That's what I was told by the Cochran firm.
Tune in, you're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper as we discuss police terrorism in the black community. We're speaking right now with Sister Mary, and she's talking about the death of her brother Larry, the unjust death of her brother Larry at the hands
That's the wrongful death of LarryNeil.com. It's all over the internet.
Wonderful, wonderful. What we're going to do right now is we're going to be right back with Sister Mary, or we'll be right back, as we love to say. And we're going to get back to some music very, very shortly. And Sister Mary, we'll be right back with you so you can continue to help us to what's going on. You still with us, big bro?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wonderful, wonderful. Y'all check this out. We'll be right back. Real Talk with Brothers.
While you are black intellectuals trying to integrate, white oppressors annihilate black people, black countries, black futures. Do you really want freedom? While preachers teach them to lean not to thine own understanding, while rocking away into death, fake soldier boys or American gangsters fill prisons due to ignorance. No time left. Get free or die trying, because we got a rogue.
I got a roll. I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know. I got a roll. I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know. Put me a old lockdown. Burn it down. Get them out. Rap brown lockdown. It's a wretched. Turn it out. The jailer sick. Halliburton getting rich. Marker did some stuff with a snap, crack, a pop, pop, dropping lock. Boom. White supremacy oppressing you and me. Real, no time for no blame with no answer from my chest. So watch me shoot at this for my people being oppressed.
I got a roll.
I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know.
I got a roll.
I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know. We trying to set our people free. Either you down or you not. Stop the sale, hustle. Get some cops up on my block. Ain't got no time for no Xbox. Not my mind. I gotta stay up on my grind. Ain't got no time to let go. We in a bind of stupidity. With that TV, VH1, Flavor Flav, MTV, and BET. Go watch your spinners roll while we hit. So play a goal. Let no shabby thing while we get knocked up.
I got a roll.
I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know.
I got a roll.
I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know. Why you pimping now? I got a roll. Why that monkey is showing? I got a roll. Since our mind is distracted, I got a roll. While oppression is happening, I got a roll. While we ride to that good bump, bounce and we get crunk. Lean and we rock and we on that good bump. Up when that jump, eat and we drink and we splurge in the shape jump. Half of us still living dumb, unemployment growing up. Brother getting pulled over by the pigs and get shot up. Dance to them videos, fantasize about pimping. Glamorize these cars and clothes while oppression blows.
I got a roll.
I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know.
I got a roll.
I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know.
Mothers and fathers, while you at the club shining, your sons and daughters are dying. Car rims, misguided priorities, sports team affiliations, man, they're weapons of mass distraction. But your dumb keep buying. What about freedom? What about justice? What about equality? What about our history? Man, I guess y'all don't give a damn about that. Man, I gotta roll.
I got a roll. I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know. I got a roll. I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know. I got a roll. I'm trying to catch up on my freedom. You ain't know.
Yes, indeed. I got a roll. I'm trying to catch up on my
roll.
You ain't know. No, we ain't got time to be entertained and nothing else. If it ain't about liberation, it ain't about nothing.
You're right.
That's right. You're listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Big bro, you still there?
Yes, sir. You sure said a mouthful there, bro.
Yes, indeed. If it ain't about liberation, we don't need to be entertaining it.
Hello.
All right. Put it down.
simple. That's right. We are speaking with Sister Mary today. And, you know, as the song just said, you know, while we entertain everything else, the Billy Club glides ever so gently across our heads.
All right.
You know,
all so. It takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You are correct.
Yes, ma'am.
You are correct.
Sure, absolutely.
A lot of people scared to do something. They're scared to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are too busy maintaining friendships that might net them something someday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have told the NAACP about this travesty of justice. I've written the SCLC about it. I've written CORE about it. I've told the ones who I thought would care that a black man is put away in prison and euthanized for doing nothing but maybe talking loud. I've told them, and they even didn't write me back, and they blocked my email, apparently. I don't know when I say somebody blocked my email because, frankly, there's a lot of folks don't want this word out.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of folks.
Yeah,
anyway, who knows if they even got the messages? Because my email, I can't tell you how it's been tampered with. I can't tell you how this message has been censored.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that since he died in a jail that was under the already sued by the United States of America for violations of the civil rights of inmates. The Justice Department had oversight over Shelby County Jail at the time that Larry died. So when I found out the Cochran firm had just made a simple fool out of us, had done nothing on the case, I wrote to the Justice Department and I said, please. I knew then I had to get my own records because they had done nothing. So I said, please, Justice Department, send me the records that the jail sent you, because I was aware that they had to file a records when anybody got hurt or died at that jail. They had to file it with the Justice Department. They were in oversight. They had a signed agreement under their suit with the United States to keep the Justice Department informed of anything that goes wrong there. So I wrote them and I said, send me, please, his inmate fatality report. I want to know what they said happened to him. You know what the Justice Department wrote me back?
What's that?
Said, we never heard about Larry Neal.
What?
See, when Julian Bolton and them got the case, they all probably down there breathed a sigh of relief and said, hey, we ain't even got to tell this.
Mm-hmm.
We just going to put this in 513.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it appears to me, sir.
Yeah.
How say you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we do understand, you know, that cronyism and that secrecy.
And then the thing is, though, what about once you do know? I'm telling you. I'm sending you the death certificate. I'm sending you the little partial autopsy report that I get by fax. Only partial. When I write to the coroner's office, and that was when O.C. White was coroner, and I said, hey, send me the rest of the autopsy report and send me the inquest or the coroner's report. I need to know what happened. Do you know what I was told? There are no further reports available.
Mm-hmm.
There are no further reports available.
Are we the only family in the 21st century to have a family member secretly arrested and returned to his family a corpse with no apology, no explanation, no police records, no inquest, no investigation? To this day, the Justice Department refuses to investigate.
We all know about O.C.
Well, yes, you know about him.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
So, you know, they gave me no reports. And the Cochran firm, of course, used up our time that we had to legally ask for reports through the lawsuit, and we didn't get reports. And to this day, almost 5 years later, we don't have a report. And now the Justice Department, if they in oversight over the jail, I have a petition online for people to please sign and tell them you need to investigate this death. But do you know what? They too busy investigating Michael Vick's dogs. Dogs are much more important than black men.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, because their dog is their god. It's their best friend. It's their hunting partner and their sex partner.
And plus that, he don't say anything if they kick him.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, you know, here we have a brother who died viciously at the hands of the evil in prison industrial complex, and here you have Michael Vick, who was, you know, fighting some dogs, and the brother's doing jail time.
But these people ain't even got to ask what happened. This man is in jail. This man is in jail for hurting dogs. And I tell you something, I like dogs, and I think that he needs a little cool-out time. He needs a little cool-out time to think about what, you know, that dogs are living beings, and you shouldn't just go shoot them in the head or what have you. But look, the man is in jail for that, and his name was just drugged through the mud. Nobody was hiding what he did. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you something. The average black man who gets in trouble with the police, their name is readily drugged through the mud. They got news headlines all over. Why is the Cochran firm different? You better think about it.
Oh, yeah. You know, Massa has his rewards for his loyal servants, you know, until Massa's interest has been done with. As long as the slave is working in the interest of a slave master, Massa will go along with his servant.
That's what I would think. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing is that, do you know how closed things are at the top? Do you know that we weren't able to find a lawyer to go against those bad boys?
For real?
I'm talking about here we get somebody who has obviously committed malpractice, somebody who had us to sign a contract with no intention of honoring it, which is contract fraud. We've got somebody with deep pockets and lots of money, and do you know that we haven't been able to find a lawyer? That's how together the thing is. So I said, you know what? The reason God put me years ago in law firms, I've been working for lawyers for 15 years. I'm the one who filed the darn papers. I'm the one who keeps the records. I'm the one who writes half of a lot of what be written on the things. So I said, well, you know what? I don't have to sit here and let these people get away for lack of a lawsuit. I can file this lawsuit, so I did.
That's right. That's right.
I filed it pro se, and I served this office here in Atlanta, the office that's advertised as being the Johnny Cochran Firm's Atlanta office. Do you want to know what they did?
What's that?
They went to court, and they told the judge, we're not any part of the Cochran Firm. We don't know anything about the Cochran Firm. Yes. Mm-hmm. We don't know anything about the Cochran Firm. We're not affiliated with any Memphis office or any other offices of the Cochran Firm. We are a totally separate law firm called Cochran, Cherry, Givens, Smith, and Sistrunk, P.C. We're totally owned and operated in the state of Georgia and have no affiliation with any of these parties that she said did her wrong.
Is there any way that you can prove, that they are...
check out their website. It's the first office they list as their office.
Yeah.
This ain't nothing hidden. This is just in your face, F you.
Yeah.
This ain't nothing they tried to rationalize. This is just in your face. You are nothing. You are nothing but a working class black family, and we are the elite, and we are hooked up with the people to be hooked up with, and we treat you like we want to. This is not something hidden, something they tried to hide. This is something in your face crooked. Look at their website and see the first office listed. They're listed alphabetically.
Yep.
They didn't even bother to stop the commercials from running every 5 minutes on television and on Marta. They didn't bother to even take down the Atlanta office from their website. It was like, F you.
So they said that they were
they said
not
they're
a
not
part of it,
any part of the Cochran firm. And that's what they represent.
As a part of.
What? And they said they got nothing to do with the Cochran firm. And they said they had no lawyer client relationship with me whatsoever. Now, they're the ones who took the initial interview. They're the ones who referred me where to go and made the arrangements for me to sign contract in their office in Memphis. They referred to it as their office. Since then, I've had lawyers, too, because I work with lawyers, to call over there and say, who are you? What law firm is this? And they said, this is the Cochran firm. It was just we can get rid of this whole situation with Larry Neal. We can get rid of this whole thing, and we can continue to shield the jail. We will just say we're not connected with the Cochran firm and dismiss our case.
We can continue to shield our money.
So what happened is Judge Wendy Shube dismissed the case on the basis that that was the wrong party. They're not the Cochran firm. There's no Cochran firm in Georgia.
Everybody knows that was the original Cocker Prince.
Yeah, exactly. In Georgia. You know, we know that in Tennessee.
So the thing is, sir, that nevertheless, they were declared not to be that in court. I got a court order that says it. Mm. Now,
they were declared not to be that by another court.
The court gave them a court order giving them non-existence as far as I was concerned.
That's power. Mm.
That's power, ain't it?
That's
you know, if you're in trouble with the police, get a judge to say you don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I got the court order right on my website, wrongfuldeathoflarryneal.com.
Yeah, I've read that. Give the people that address again.
It's Larry Neal. It's the wrongful death of Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, Neal, N-E-A-L. Now, don't put O'Neal. It's just Neal, N-E-A-L. Wrongful death of Larry Neal. And if you just put that in there, you will see that I've been writing about this for a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it took me a year, it took me until I didn't start publicizing this for 3 years. You know why?
Why?
Because I am just like a lot of people. I wanted to be proud of the Cochran firm.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to believe that if the management found out how crooked those people were in Memphis, they would clean house and just give us a confidential settlement, and maybe this didn't have to come out about them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not somebody who's trying to spread dirty laundry out in the street. I was trying to do something reasonable, and I'm thinking, well, maybe it was just these lawyers in Memphis. David McLaughlin was our assigned attorney. Julian Bolton was the managing partner. I hear they got rid of him. But you know, I'm thinking, well, maybe it's just something compared to the Memphis office, and when the management hears about it, they'll deal with it. Well, you see how they dealt with it. We don't exist in Atlanta.
Yeah, that you know, and what's so crazy, you know, and always quoting Brother Malcolm, he says that right now, you know, the white man doesn't have to do any of his own dirty work. He finds some bootpicking porch monkey, Uncle Tom, yes, I'm as I love you more than I love myself, handkerchief head Negro to do his dirty bidding for him. And that's what has happened in this case.
Man, you sure can't speak. Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
That is exactly what I warn people of. So what happened, sir, is that I was sitting at home one night, and I heard that Mrs. Johnston had been shot dead by police in her home here in Atlanta, 92-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
So when I heard about it, I was so disturbed. Then the next, I saw all the people out in her front yard doing just angry, doing candlelight vigils and what have you. And I said, my goodness, they shot a 92-year-old elderly woman living alone in her home and going to say she was doing drugs. That woman, I said, that's so unreal. So then the next night, I saw that the NAACP had joined them out there in the yard. And big dignitaries in the civil rights movement were out there. And they had gotten the Johnny Cochran firm to represent that family, they said, on the news.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my goodness, are they going to do them like they did us? I said, see, after I got my little butt slapped in court, I was just kind of recuperating from that. I was always going to hit them back. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't in any hurry because you got a statute of limitations that runs a little bit longer in Georgia than it does in Tennessee for things.
Mm-hmm.
In Tennessee, you don't have a 1 year to get your suits filed.
Yeah.
And so I was just kind of recuperating because, you know, when somebody does something like that to you just in your face wrong, I'm telling you, if you are not used to that kind of abuse personally, you have to recuperate. You have to kind of let your mind rest.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I wasn't really doing anything about that court order that got issued to me. But then when I saw that old woman had gotten killed by police and the Cochran firm was supposed to take the case, I was very worried for that family. I said, here's another black family depending on them to exact justice from the police.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now, they, you know, sometimes they do, but I swear to you, sometimes they don't. And I don't know what basis they decide that on.
Yeah. Because,
and so I said, well.
That's what they learned, long-term relationship with Massa.
And so I said, I called all the news stations. I called the news affiliates, and I said, listen, I said, how in the world is the Cochran firm going to defend the Johnston family behind this wrongful death when I got a court order that says they don't freaking exist in Georgia?
Hmm.
I said, tell me that. And I said, I tell you what, y'all come on out because I want to show you my court order. I thought the yard would fill up with news people.
news.
Not a, honey, do you know what happened? I don't know if you looked at those reports, but after that on the news, whenever they referred to talk about that case, they would say, here's a spokesman for the family.
Yeah.
They never said talking from again.
You all are listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keep Up by way of MasterGrio.com. We're speaking with Sister Mary about the wrongful death of her
Mary
brother.
Neal.
Yes, indeed, Mary Neal. And Sister, give them your website address again so we can all, as a black nation, come to the rescue of this family.
Well, it's wrongful, W-R-O-N-G-F-U-L, death, D-E-A-T-H, of O-F, Larry, L-A-R-R-Y, Neal, N-E-A-L. And I've written so much about it that, honey, you could go to Yahoo. Sometimes you have to go to the people who are not so censored. Go to Yahoo and just type in Death Larry Neal, and it all come up.
Yeah, that's what I
mean.
Is.
You know, some
that's
of the some of the engines are more, you know, they're better at giving you the whole story than others.
Yeah, that's what I did. Put in Death Larry Neal.
Yes.
And we really do want to thank you for spending your time with us, and hopefully this will help shed some light on this situation. So
could I just say this?
Yes, ma'am.
We're suing them right now in United States District Court. Since the Atlanta office does not exist, that moved them out of the way. So whenever you have a suit against out-of-state people, we let them get away with that because we wanted them out the way because it's easier to subpoena records across state lines if you're in federal court. So we're now in federal court. They got the Atlanta office out of the way, and we didn't have to deal in Georgia State Court. So now we're in federal court, and we're suing them there. And I can't tell you much about how that case is going because it's ongoing, but I am glad for this opportunity to be publicized because, number one, it is frightening to be out here by yourself dealing with rich, powerful, unethical people. Number two, when people think their sins are covered, they act more sinful. Y'all have had three more federal cases filed against Shelby County Jail for treating the mentally ill bad, abusing them, and also killing one man. And now let me just say this. That lawyer who got those three cases, one of them is named the Hester case. One of them is that little boy. I forgot his name because y'all, you know, didn't let me know I was going to be on the air. But you know the three cases, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that lawyer had a heart attack right after filing the cases. See, now our statute of limitations was too old to join that. But that man had a heart attack, the lawyer. Now, you know, that was, his heart attack was a long time ago. What's happening with those cases now? Please help those families. Because I'm not sure their cases are going to go anywhere.
And they probably won't. They probably won't if history is the best teacher when told properly. You all have been listening to Real Talk with Brothers Keeper. Big Bert, you got any last words?
Man, I'm just glad that we have an opportunity and the ability to get this message out, man, because a lot of people are starry-eyed about this whole situation. They would like to say that those are just isolated incidents, but we're here to tell you that it's going on more than you even could imagine. So, I mean, like you said, get involved in your community, get involved in what the people are doing and what's going on, because we're going to have to stick together throughout this thing.
Yes, indeed. And just imagine about the case.
If y'all want to know more about the three cases that happened after my brother, see, when people can get away under the secrecy of treating people like dogs, they continue. Those three cases are on my website under the updates tab in the archives because I wrote about that a month or two ago.
Okay.
So go to Wrongful Death Larry Neal, go to the updates, and then go to the archives and look. And you'll see the three cases that, as far as I know, they just sitting. And one man was shot 21 times by police, a mentally ill man, but he didn't die, I understand. One was that little boy who was arrested as an adult, and he was mentally ill and retarded. And the other mentally ill man got beat to death according to the suit. And I don't know, these people don't know anything about them, just telling you what their suits say. Got beat to death on the way to the jail. And so those three cases all happened after Larry. So it seems like it's open season on mentally ill people in y'all's town.
Oh, yeah. Overseas.
It overseas on black people in this town, but.
Well, you know what? It always gets the weakest first.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so what they did to the mentally ill people, they would do to any of us. But the thing is that they start with the, you know, it's just like when you're out there hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the lion is hunting, he looks for the prey that is kind of limping.
Yeah, exactly.
And mentally ill people are no more than just human beings, and right now they are the most vulnerable, so it's easier to get them. And I want y'all to please be aware of that. They are used to keep the prison complex full. Because, you know, we got private prisons now, and they make money per person.
Yes.
And they've been released from the mental hospitals, and they keep in the private prisons real good and full, and they sit in there chained, sometimes naked, so they can't use their clothes to hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's body was shipped from Shelby County Jail, butt naked.
Yeah.
He wasn't suicidal, but, you know, police can't determine that.
Yeah.
So these people, men and women, are treated like that just right now as we speak. 200,000 mentally ill people are in prison when they ought to be in hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And my organization is Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. I want you to know that includes a whole lot of black people, even though I don't care whether a person is one race or another, if they're hurting and being victimized, it needs to stop.
Okay, well, you're listening to Brothers Keeper, Real Talk with Brothers Keeper, and we love to hear some more, but we got to go. It's truly been a moment. I'm afraid that's all, y'all. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor?
I am.
A revolutionary.
A revolutionary.
Make good change, black people. Peace.
Thank you.
My mind is free.